I want to encourage you today. See the salvation of the Lord. It's put different ways in different places. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Place your confidence in God. Trust Him. Trust Him beyond where you do now. Trust Him farther with more confidence. Where you don't have faith, ask God for faith to trust Him more. Take your Bibles and go with me to Exodus chapter 14. I want to focus on verse 13 in chapter 14, and that's the first verse we're going to read. Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." The children of Israel have cried out to God in their oppression in Egypt. God sent them back Moses. And Moses went to see Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "All right. You guys are preoccupied with this trip to the wilderness. We're going to have to raise your work a little. You're going to have to make bricks with no stone." And then they made them serve with rigor, and then they oppressed them, and the taskmasters brought down harder and harder burdens. So they had cried out to God for deliverance. God had sent them a deliverer, and everything just got worse. Much worse. God sent a plague to the Egyptians. And the Egyptians said, "Pharaoh, can you ask your God to take the plague away?" And God took the plague away. God sent another plague, 7 plagues to the Egyptians. The last plague that God sent was the plague of the death angel that took the firstborn of every beast out of their household and the firstborn male child out of the household. And the children of Israel observed the Passover. They brought the lamb into their home. They had it in the home 3 or 4 days. And then on the day of the Passover, they took that lamb and they cut its throat. And they caught the blood in a bowl. And they took the blood and they painted the doorpost of their house. It was a symbol of Jesus Christ going into the city of Jerusalem. And He went in on a donkey, and they cried, "Hosanna, blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord." He was in the city 3 or 4 days. And they took Him, and they tried Him, and they caught Him. And He shed His blood on Calvary's cross. And the blood the Egyptians Hebrews struck on the doorpost in Egypt was a type of the cross of Calvary. And their obedience as a nation was 100%, which is remarkable because you don't get 100% pretty much anywhere. They obeyed God 100%. And the Egyptians the very next day said, "We want you out of Egypt." They gave them goods. They gave them their jewels. They gave them everything they asked for. And they spoiled Egypt and they left. Now they're traveling in the wilderness and the Egyptians come back to themselves and they go, "Oh, wow." Now, it's not that God was out-strategized by the thinking of the Egyptians. God has them right where He wants them. The children of Israel just do not realize it. After God has delivered you, and He's delivered you, and He's delivered you, and He says, "Hey, I'll never leave you nor forsake you," He says, "I'm able to deliver you." When we come to a tight spot in the road, we still have our concerns and our worries. And we don't completely trust God to deliver us. The children of Israel have been brought in completely out of Egypt, 100%, lock, stock, and barrel. They brought everything. They brought every stitch of everything that they chose and desired to bring. God gave them the freedom to do that. Pharaoh had given them deals where he said, hey, go and leave your stuff. Go and leave the children. Go and leave the older folks. Go and leave your animals. They said, no, we're going with everything. Now, Moses knew they were going and weren't coming back. They got out several days, and here comes the army of Egypt. Like, we changed our mind and we're bringing you back. And in these several days, they had been led by the pillar of cloud during the day and the pillar of fire at night. And they came up to the seashore there. And they're all fenced in. Nothing but water at their backs. Nothing but army. Mountains on either side. And here comes the Egyptian army up to take back possession of them and bully them back into Egypt. Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The best deliverances God has given me have not been the ones where I have had a great plan, or I figured things out, or I strategized, or I had more with me than they had with them. It's at times when I didn't have any answer. But to rely on God. And God delivered me. And in that deliverance, God humbles you. He glorifies himself through your circumstances. The Lord came down in that pillar that went before them. All of a sudden wasn't before them. It was over top of them, and now it's behind them. Comes down and creates a wall between the children of Israel and the children, the army of Egypt. The Egyptians chasing them. And on the side of the children of Israel, it gives them light. On the other side, it gives them darkness. And it effectively shut things down at the camp of the Egyptians. The children of Israel were given light during that night. Got to about the morning, and God tells Moses, Moses, go out and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. Every once in a while, it happens that something at our house does not work. Some big, complex machine. And my wife says, why don't you fix it? And I say, well, Jackie, do you remember when I went to school to fix washing machines? And she says, no. And I said, well, I don't remember either. I don't know how to fix a washing. Now, I took apart a couple washing machines and got something out of the pump of them and got them back together, and they worked again. And it might have been the worst thing that ever happened, because now if anything's wrong with the washing machine, she's just like, James, go fix it. I'm like, I don't know how to fix it. And that's when we get a repairman to come out and look at it. Now, I wish I could do everything with it, but I just can't. God said to Moses, hey, go out, stretch out your arm over the waters and divide it. Moses didn't say, God, do you remember when I went to class for putting my hand out over the water and dividing it? God, I can't do that. I don't know how to do it. Moses has been fellowshipping with God, and God's been walking with him, and God's been talking with him, God's been teaching him. And if God hasn't built the children of Israel's faith, God has built Moses' faith. And Moses has already seen the river turn to blood. He's seen the frogs. He's seen the lice. He's seen the lightning. And he's seen the sickness to all the cattle. He's seen all these things sweep over Egypt. But lastly, he's seen the blood and the angel passed over and protected all those homes. And God says, hey, go stretch out your hand over the sea to divide it. And God, I don't even know what that means, but okay. Let me read. Moses said to the people, "Stand, or fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they may go forward." You know, where is there to go forward? They got the cloud here. They got the sea behind them. Obviously, the cloud is back, so the other direction is forward. The only way to go forward is to go out to the edge of the sea. And he tells them to go forward, "But lift up thine rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen." You know, years later, Hophni and Phinehas send the Ark of the Covenant in a battle, and it's taken by the Philistines. The Philistines have that Ark, and they put it in their first city, and they put it in a temple, and Dagon goes, bow down before it, and they put him back up, and the next day he's bowed down with his hands and his head broken off, and they're like, "Ooh, remember." And you know what they're remembering? Remember what happened to the Egyptians years before. I'm saying, remember what God did to the Egyptians? We have got to get this thing out of here. Send it anywhere, send it to another city. They sent it to another city. They had problems. Everybody in that city got hemorrhoids, and there was mice everywhere. Not sure which one was worse. But they molded out some golden hemorrhoids and some golden mice, and they sent it back with a couple of heifers on a cart. They said, "Take it back. We do not want to happen to us what happened to Egypt." So God has taken this experience for the children of Israel, not just to teach them faith, but to let every nation on earth. And so many years later, the Philistines know that the Lord God of the Hebrews is not to be messed with. He's not one to get on the wrong side of. We can make a new Dagon idol, but we do not want to deal with this. In verse 19, the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and a pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that that one came not near the other all the night. No, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night. And it made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. I want to talk about building a wall. The children of Israel go through the Red Sea on the right hand and on the left hand. The waters are mounted up, and they're walking through on dry ground. There's several miracles here. God divided the sea. God humped up the waters for them. And then the miracle that they're not walking through on the mucky, muddy sea bottom. They're walking through on dry ground. They walked through on dry ground. They didn't walk through on smelly, stinky seaweed and on the yucky, nasty black mud at the bottom of a lot of bodies of water. They walked through, and it was completely dry ground they walked through on. Now the Egyptians, are back there behind the wall in the dark. And if God fights for you, that's a lot of times where he keeps your enemy in the dark. And the wall was lifted, and the Egyptians in 23 pursued and went after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of cloud and fire and of the cloud, and he troubled the host. And he took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." Started the chariots and the wheels. The Lord made the wheels come off chariots. And the chariots are dragging down on the bottom. I say, this isn't something natural. This is supernatural. Their God is fighting us. We got to get out of here. Now, the Lord hardened their hearts, so they ran down in there. They got down in there, and they realized they was in bad trouble. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, and upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." I know it's not exactly so. In a lot of lakes, the further out you go, the deeper it is. I've been out fishing where it was 900 feet down. And I knew that by the big mount of line that went off the reel to get down to the bottom. I've been out other places where it was less than 100 down. I went to a place last time I was fishing, and it was count to 17 and reel, and you're near the bottom. The captain, he kind of had that information and that knowledge based on his using the places he'd been and his equipment, that he could see how deep it was and everything. So it's not really always that the further out you go, the deeper it is. I was in a little pool. I say little, but it was like no further than from here to Burlington Coat Factory. And it was in a new river in Tennessee. And the mountain came down like this. And it came down right to the water, and it kept going down. And that pool, it wasn't very large. It's pretty big, but it was 70 feet deep. That's an amazing amount of deepness. 70 feet deep. And I've always thought about, you know, jumping out in a big lake, getting in a boat where you go past where you can see land, and jumping out, and how deep is it? And how you could get lost in all that water. I was out on Lake Erie with my brothers, and I got seasick. And they were like, "Oh, James, we know just the thing for you. We've tried this ourselves. It works perfectly." This was after I was sick for 2 hours. We got the cure. We've been holding the cure all along. And now we're going to put a life jacket on you, and we're going to throw you in. And the minute you get in the water, you will feel 1,000% better. You'll even be hungry. And they take me and they throw me in that water. I was so sick I couldn't worry about how deep it was. I couldn't even worry about whether I had my head all the way out of the water. I didn't feel 1,000% better, and I didn't feel hungry at all, I'll tell you that. If you can imagine the water heaped up on either side. I've been down through a couple aquariums where they put a little tunnel in the aquarium, and it's acrylic, and you could see stuff out here and stuff here. I was at SeaWorld, and I was in one, and there were sharks all around me. And there's divers down there feeding the sharks. They feed the sharks stuff that don't move at all, so that they're used to eating stuff that's not living. But the sharks are all around. It's kind of creepy. I imagine the children of Israel, and there's a wall of water on the right hand, there's a wall of water on the left hand. I don't know if they could see in through that water and see what was in there, see a whale swim by or a school of tuna or look over there and see a starfish or something. And the sea didn't all just stop living. God just cut a channel down through it and a wall on either side, and they walked through. I don't know how wide the path was, but it was wide enough to accommodate them somehow or other. And they got all the way through, and must have been a few down in there, and it lifted the curtain, and he just like, oh no, there's our prey getting away from us. Now, when you're chasing something, your psychological reactions all change. That's why they do a whole bunch of training for police officers when they're in car chases, because if they do not rely on their training, they throw caution to the wind, and bam, they crash into other cars, and they'll let that person who's breaking the law lead them and make all the decisions for them. They got to be careful. I'm thinking that normally if the Egyptians came upon a little spot where the sea was, you know, you see these every day. There's water on both sides and it's dry in the middle. And they think, oh no, that's a bad place to go. But when they looked across and they seen the last of the Hebrews and the trap is here and they've got them all pinned down on the seashore, and all of a sudden that cloud comes down, it's darkness. They got to camp down for the night, and boom, it pops up in the morning, and they see the last of their quarry getting away down this little trail. Like, oh, if they can do it, we can do it. And I just hustle it out there, get the trumpets going, burr, 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 fastest horses first, and they're all charging down in there, boom, doo, 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 and all of a sudden the wheels start coming off the wagons, the chariots. Like, oh, we didn't think this through very well. This just popped up. We saw the opening and we came in and we took it. And God's saying to Moses about that time, hey, stretch out your hand. Let the waters go back. God says, you're not going to see any more of these Egyptians again. You're not going to see them where they have their body, soul, and spirit all together. You might see the house they lived in, but you won't see them anymore. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. I want you to see this started with, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. This morning we talked about wall building and what is the thing that God has in front of you. Where is the place where you can work? Where can you make a difference? Where can you provide your service for Jesus Christ? In Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Moses' instructions are, fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. My wife and Jacob and Megan and Emily went to Disneyland and they rode on a roller coaster. And I asked my wife about it. She tells me about the whole thing. I asked Emily about it and she says, I don't know. I closed my eyes. I closed my eyes from the first hill all the way till the thing came to a complete stop. I don't know what happened at all. Now, that wasn't the instructions that Moses gave. And you can go through something and you can see what happened. Or you can go through something, you can wonder what in the world just happened. And you'll get some of either variety in your life. But the instructions that Moses gave were to stand still, eyes wide open, and see the salvation of the Lord. To stop, don't fight, God's going to fight the battle, and you are going to see God's hand at work. And the children, they saw, and they believed, and they trusted God. And they had confidence in Moses, God's servant. I think that as we step forward serving God, looking for higher ground, looking for it's well with my soul, between myself and God, there's nothing. Looking for a place of being clean, looking for a place of being yielded, looking for a place of service, that the first place we could start is that we could have our vision checked. What do you want from God? The children of Israel did not know exactly what they wanted from God except for that they wanted safety. They didn't know but that they were afraid of the Egyptian army behind them. They did not have expectations of how they would be delivered or that God would deliver them. And Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I mentioned that in my life, the very most difficult things and the times God has delivered me the cleanest and the best are the times when I did not do anything. There was none of me on it and all of God on it. Moses went and obeyed God's instructions. He put out his rod over the sea and God split the sea. He put his rod back over the sea and God put the sea back. And there, a nation full of joy and full of faith and full of rejoicing and thanksgiving sang praises together. And when we sing in heaven, the song they sang, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, are the songs that we're going to sing in heaven. Oh, that you could have a song remembering God's deliverance, bolstering and helping your faith, and letting you remember that it's not you, but it's all of God. And my coming days, I'm seeking to see someone except Christ. I'm seeking to see God build some of our young men into men of God. I'm seeking to see God allow us to reach out as a church farther, to have more in the areas of love, to work and train our children, to help them, to encourage them in loving and obeying God, placing Jesus Christ first in their life. I'm seeking to see the salvation of the Lord one more time. God says, stand still and don't fight. Fear not. The Lord will fight for you. God certainly does give the increase. If we could, along with Israel, see the great work which the Lord did, fear the Lord, and believe Him. Follow His actions and His things for us in our lives. I want to encourage you today, see the salvation of the Lord. It's put different ways in different places. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Place your confidence in God. Trust Him. Trust Him beyond where you do now. Trust Him farther with more confidence. where you don't have faith, ask God for faith to trust Him more.
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.